Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. Well, also soon, the month of February is also ending. And, you know, today I was having a chat with some friends and it's like, hey, so 2 months gone. And it's like, wow, you know, that's how it is. If you have something to do and you've been procrastinating, by the time you realize the year has ended, then it's like, wow, what happened? And the year is over. You've not achieved what you have to do. So you have to know that time is not on our side. And it's like it's so important that you have to plan, because as soon as you realize the day is over, the night is over, a month is over, a year is over. So, well, what can we say? We have to thank God for the gift of life keeping us January, February, and we have every reason to do so, because it's only the grace of God and the gift of life that has kept us safe and sound. All right. So to those following the world news today, you know, the world is boiling. I've been talking about it, that is coming, and it has come. And the attack, at long last, the attack that the world was watching and waiting impatiently, because the signals were clear that America and Israel were going to attack Iran. And they took a surprise one this afternoon. And that is it. So it's ongoing. And I mean, it's unpredictable. We just don't know what next and how far things can escalate. The only thing we have to do is, well, we keep praying for ourselves and pray for God's will to be done in the midst of all these things. You know, there are some things you cannot pray to stop it. I mean, that's one thing we also have to understand. When it comes to prophecies that is written, clearly stated that this has to happen. You know, those are things you can't stop it. Jesus said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. If those wars and rumors of wars don't happen, that part of scripture cannot be fulfilled. And so far as those words would have to be fulfilled, some warmongers and some people who don't want peace will by all means have to be alive to start wars and clear the stage and have the rumors of wars and all the back and forth going on. So some people need to be there to fulfill scripture, although negatively they have to, because the word of God ultimately has to be fulfilled. So that is it. So, well, let's start some of the news this week. And we look at, the news is quite loaded. It may take all the time, though, but a lot to talk about this evening. So thank you for tuning in. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Greetings to listeners wherever they are within the country and outside the country. Okay, first let me talk about, perhaps you saw the video of the students in, you know, is it somewhere the central region, the Swedru, something. And, you know, I didn't really have it as a news item, but, you know, I just remember to talk about it. And, you know, you watch a video like that, students attempting to kill another student. I mean, intercore or interzona, superzona, or whatever. The stones, the type of stones were throwing that missed him, and the attempt alone is something which tells you that the heart of man is really becoming hardened and very cold. And someone made a statement, says Ghanaians, oh, now we are Ghanaians are peace loving, and he, so far as he's concerned, that thing is a fallacy. I agree. Ghanaians are not peace loving. No. Never be deceived that Ghanaians are peace loving. Not at all. You know, we just deceive ourselves by that slogan, and no, Ghanaians are not peace loving. You see, so by his worrying what is happening at the secondary school level, I heard Ashanti region, the Spazona, some students were arrested. And, you know, it's as if, you know, when they take these drugs and all that, they just misbehave. And all this comes to the point that the issue of discipline, which has been absent in the last few years in our secondary schools largely, is contributing to these things. It's like there's no accountability. You can do what you want. You know, how can you have a system where, I don't know whether now they are implementing it, but until this government came in to at least give GES some hand to do something, I don't know whether they are also doing it as they should. Someone can just go to school in the first week and not report again till the end of the term and just go and write exams and fails and will still be promoted in the name of free SHS. You see, when you accommodate such lawlessness and such, unserious students in educational system, you breed this type of behavior. Because these are clearly not people who are interested in education. But they are just going to school just because they say it's free, so they can also go some. And there's no seriousness in life. These are we smokers, just do anything, misbehave, nobody will punish them, nobody, you can't sack them from school, you can't demote people. I mean, all these things. So, you see, we are witnessing a culmination of several years of lack of punishments, extreme lawlessness, and all that we have allowed, and that's what we are seeing. It's important. I was so happy when I saw the CID boss go to the students they attacked the boy, and the seriousness in which the woman was talking. I mean, I was very excited seeing her that way, and the praises online were, I mean, really well deserving. People who were really, and that woman is really doing well, really, really, really doing well. And what annoyed me the most was when such a serious issue, she was talking about it, the headmaster of the school whose students attempted to kill this other boy, the man was laughing. How can you laugh over such an issue? And you could see the facial, while the CID boss was furious and addressing this issue, headmaster was laughing. It's like, wow. I mean, it's like, I didn't see anything wrong with it. Hasn't seen anything wrong with it. I mean, no. I mean, the society, we are becoming something else. But I was happy when she gave him 24 hours to produce the students, or the police will come in and do what they have to do. You know, they are just respecting the fact that it's an educational institution, so they don't want to come in heavy-handed and all that, which was a good thing. They did professionalism and all. But so it's good that the police is really up now. There was a central region, the Sananda students also, Agri Memorial also attacked at this school or something. And you see, it's like there's something wrong with our youth, our teenagers. There's something wrong. But as for me, I'll place it where it lies and where it should be. Parents are the number one people to be blamed for all this. Parents. Because, see, you rarely, rarely, rarely see a child from a disciplined home being involved in these things. No. I mean, it doesn't happen. A child from a well-trained home, a God-fearing home, a disciplined child, will not engage in these brutalities and bad behavior. No. the rascals, these people who are, most of the time you go and check and it's like, there's no upbringing at home, there's no training at home, parents don't even know anything about when he's going to school or when, they're just living, they're existing. And there's no parental oversight. And then all these people are just, a menace to the society. So parents really have a lot of work to do. And it's very unfortunate how these things are going. But ultimately, I also see that the church is losing an opportunity. Because I believe now the way the system is becoming, I wonder how many headmasters will say no when a church wants to come and do evangelism or some serious program for students. I doubt, unless the headmaster himself or herself is, quote-unquote, something else. But spiritually something else. But every normal, rational headmaster or headmistress is concerned about the state of the children and would not turn away the church. So what is the church doing now? What is the church doing? And this is the time the church will rise up and make an impact. It's like these stubborn boys and all, they are not beyond, the gospel. They can just be weakened within a minute of hearing the gospel, their hearts melting, and hardened criminals have been transformed into saints. So these boys in the schools misbehaving, the thinking they are the wildest boys in town and all that, wildest girls in town and all, the gospel can melt their hearts. But until it is taken to them, what happens? They are just there and misbehaving. So this is a call to the church. The church is time something. Churches start planning something. Churches in the community. The churches in a district or in the community, whichever. Something should be done. Approach the headmistress, the headmaster, the school. I don't think they will say no. Unless they themselves are not correct. But something should be done. Okay, so let's get into some news items for this evening. We have Heaven's Warning Lights. Planetary Signs, and then the Jewish Festival Purim, and then the Blood Moons, and all these things are happening. Very interesting article. Let me just read it. The headlines and the heavens appear to be speaking at the same time. In a single stretch of days, the world is watching escalating tensions between Iran, Israel, and the United States, while the night sky stages a rare celestial display, a six-planet alignment, followed almost immediately by a total lunar eclipse, the so-called Blood Moon, falling on the Jewish Feast of Purim. For the students of Scripture and watchers of world events, The convergence is difficult to ignore. According to NASA, a rare planetary alignment is visible this week, with Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune appearing together across the night sky. Astronomers sometimes call this planetary parade, a phenomenon that occurs only occasionally when multiple planets line up from Earth's vantage point. Reports highlighted by space.com note that whilst two or three visible planets are common, six at once is unusual enough to draw global attention from sky watchers. Then comes the eclipse. In the early hours of March 3rd, observers across much of North America will witness the only total lunar eclipse visible in the United States until 2028. During the totality, the moon turns deep reddish hue as a result of sunlight filtering through Earth's atmosphere and scattering blue wavelengths, leaving the tones to illuminate the lunar surface. Scientifically, the explanation is straightforward. Historically and biblically, however, blood moons have carried symbolic weight. Ancient cultures often interpreted them as omens of upheaval or war. Structure scripture itself references celestial disturbances in prophetic context, including Joel 2:31, where it says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Now we talk about the Purim, a festival born from a genocidal plot. What makes this particular eclipse striking is its timing. It falls on Purim, the Jewish festival commemorating the events recorded in the book of Esther. Purim celebrates deliverance from an ancient Persian plot to annihilate the Jewish people, a plot engineered by Haman, an official in the Persian Empire, which included lands that today overlap with modern Iran. Mm-hmm. The historical parallel is hard to dismiss. The original threat arose from Persia. Today, Israel's most vocal state-level adversary is Iran, whose leaders have repeatedly issued hostile rhetoric towards the Jewish state. Purim is therefore not merely a holiday, it's a yearly reminder that attempts to destroy the Jewish people have risen again and again throughout history and have repeatedly failed. For many believers, that pattern reinforces the biblical theme of divine preservation. The same God who intervened in Esther's time, they believe, will still do so today. Now, geopolitically, tensions remain high. Negotiations over, this was written before the war started today. This article was written somewhere Wednesday, this week. And the war has started today. U.S., Israel, serious attack on Iran. They've attacked the Ayatollah's compound, and now the speculation, it's not known whether he survived or they took him to high, whatever, but his compound has been destroyed. So it's quite, and certainly there was a meeting going on when the attack happened, so that means a lot of senior Iranian officials are dead. And you know, when the attack started, celebrations among the Iranian youth and all, because they've been treated a hostile religion regime. And the extreme, they practice the extreme form of the religion that makes them like slaves. So they really need liberation. They really need liberation. And President Trump says that it's their time. It's time to take over the government. And so they are doing the killings, the bombings and all, and the citizens have to take over. You know? So it's early days yet. It just started today. Let's see how things pan out. And let's see. The leaders of United States and Israel declared the launch of a broad coordinated military operation against the Iranian regime on Saturday morning, beginning with massive waves of airstrikes across several areas in the country. Yeah, so that is it. And yeah, President Trump declares war on evil Iranian regime, Operation Epic Fury. So this is a full transcript. Okay, so President give us a full speech and all that. So I mean, I'm not the time, so I'm not reading the transcript of what he said. All right. So yeah, these are the times we live in, and it's interesting how the world is going. There is this interesting article I saw, and the headline is quite interesting though. Is Europe ready for the Antichrist? 1 in 5 already want someone like him. Before I read it, you know, I saw one pastor was on a show in the US, and he said when he looks at the way the world is going, and he personally believes the Antichrist is just around the corner. I don't dispute it. You know, I've said it here before that, you know, the world, if you really look at the way the world is going, the Antichrist system is really in control in various ways. You know, this liberalism, the wokeism or whatever they will call it, it's all, and indirectly, if you look at it, well, it's part of the Antichrist system. The rise of Islam across Europe and the Western world is all part of the Antichrist system. And you see that there's a grand agenda in place to keep the system expanding, to keep people deceived. You know, deception is the fundamental thing of the end time. it's going to be so fundamental, because for the masses to believe whoever comes, they would need to be deceived first and foremost, to follow such a person, to believe such a person, to trust such a person. And the world has gradually gotten to the point where people are virtually, most people, I don't say everybody, but the youth especially, are virtually not thinking for themselves again. People are becoming like robots, zombies, and they just follow the system. And that makes it even easier for the Antichrist system, because people are just already, they are slaves to the system. So whatever the slave master dictates, they will just align to it. And we are seeing levels of deception never seen before. It's sad when you watch the videos, churches closing down in America and in Europe. It's serious. Last 2 weeks, there was a report on one of the foreign news, and actually it was a foreign news report item. For the first time in modern history, the percentage, the number of Christians in terms of continent-wise, Africa has overtaken Europe and America, the continental number of Christians. And if you really look at it, it's not that Africa, the numbers have gone up per se like that much. Rather, the numbers have declined in the West, in terms of Christianity. So people are, closing churches. Churches are being closed. You watch some of this week I saw one of those reports, mega churches in the U.S. closing doors, numbers dropping, it's serious. Europe, as for Europe's own, is there are no words to describe it. Churches being sold, to become mosques, to become museums, to become whatever, pubs and all. And the numbers are just staggering. I had one Assemblies of God pastor in Germany spoke to me not long ago about the decline where he was in Germany. It said that, it's virtually only the old people who are in church now. The old of the old. They are the only ones who are consistent and serious about church. Even that the numbers are reducing. But they are the ones who are even keeping the flames up where he is. It's the very old people, the old people who are still committed to Christ. But largely, as they are dying and as sickness is keeping some off the streets or so they can't go to church and all that, the church is declining in a severe way. Recently, a pastor in Canada, Assemblies of God, he told me about how the numbers is also so bad there in Canada where he is. America, the statistics is not good. The numbers are dropping, churches closing. So something is not right. Something is not right. And it's unfortunate that the church is not so, it's not, for Africa, yes, the church, as I said, is still vibrant. The church is doing well. But see, this is where we should be careful about complacency. Because, it takes some things to really, just even look at COVID. When COVID came in, the even effects in Ghana, it had a serious effect. Some churches closed because of COVID. There were churches in Ghana that closed their doors fully. They closed their doors because of COVID. They couldn't survive beyond COVID because some were classroom churches. And when the former Minister of Education, then NAPO, gave the instruction that the school should not be used for churches again and not government schools in this case. So it's like that is it. Some churches just couldn't. So by the time the churches were resuming, after the 3 months or whatever number of months, I forgot, is it 3 months or 4 months, whatever, of church closure in Ghana. When the churches were opened, these churches who didn't have the means to get their own places or rent or whatever, some had to close their doors permanently. They had to, the members, one, scattered, people stopped going to church. Even regular churches with their own auditorium, the numbers dropped significantly. A lot of churches had low numbers And even now, 6 years after COVID, some churches have still not recovered from the downslide of COVID numbers. So now, the numbers are still, still low. You see, so that the church has to wake up to the realization of the season we are in. That if we are complacent, we'll lose our numbers. We'll lose the numbers. Because, yes, even the numbers you have today, the numbers in church today, it's not, quote and unquote, it's not guaranteed. Because you don't know the type of wind that will blow, that will keep these people away. No one wishes so. But you shouldn't wait for something. You have to be proactive and ensure that you let the members be well built in the faith. You know, Jesus gave a scenario of those who build in the sand and those who build on the rocky ground. And the difference is clear. When the storms come, the sand will collapse. The building, those built on the sand, will collapse. A lot of believers have their faith now built on sand. It's not built on solid ground. It's not built on Christ. It's not built on rock. A lot of believers have their faith built on sand. Sinking sand, actually. So, yes, on the surface, yes, they are Christians. On the surface, yeah, we are believers. Hey, speaking in tongues, making all the, the jargons. They say all the things. But when the pressure is on and the real demand comes in, who is on the Lord's side? That's where the difference will come in. So, yes, it may seem we have numbers, but when the reality hits the ground, the numbers may not be as many as we thought. And this is the time to build Christians who can last the seasons, irrespective of whether famine or persecution or whatever. Whatever the season that comes, they can endure and be able to survive it, and they will still stand. These are the type of Christians we need now. And these are the Christians the churches should be focused on building, especially from the youth base, from the children base and all. Because, you see, if we don't equip them spiritually to grow in these things, then when the wind blows, they will go, they will stop coming to church. Like COVID came and people stopped going to church because they didn't see the need. After all, they sat at home, nothing happened, and, they sat at home for a number of months and they didn't see any significant issue. What did they miss? Nothing. Well, then why continue going? For some, that was the reason why they stopped. They didn't see the reason to continue going again. And you see, I've said this a number of times here, and let me repeat for the purpose of new listeners and all that. During the COVID time, I did a survey. And of the sample size of a little over 1,000. Fortunately, that one I got a data analyst at that time. Yeah, a lady I've never met before, but we're friends online. She did analysis and all of the sample size. No, the percentage, the confidence interval and all that. Everything was well done. But you see, the worrying part of that survey was that close to 49%, almost 50% of people, believers, this is survey among Christians, so close to 49% or roughly 50, I would say, said that during the COVID period, when the churches closed down, their faith went down. So when they were not going to church, some their Bible reading, their prayer life, their overall spirituality went down. This is a very worrying thing because if something happens or happened then, and for 3 months church doors were closed, and as a believer, you can't stand 3 months out of church on your own. You can't know God for yourself. You can't, it's sad because during that COVID time too was the time that some people really got closer to God, because that was when they also had time to know God more, to spend more time in prayer, spend more time in the Word, read books, in the Bible and all. So if in that season when almost everybody seems to have time, except the medical people who were extremely busy at that time, you know, they were the season, I mean, health, they were very overstretched and all. But then the average person, you know, those not going to school, not going to work, people home and all, for anyone to say that they didn't have time during that COVID period to really know God more, but rather they deteriorated in their spirituality, it means they didn't even have a good foundation in the first place. Their building was on the sand, not on the rock. So the wind of COVID blew small tremors and they were failing. Had that church closure extended to 1 year, can you imagine how many people would have stopped church completely? Even the tremors. We all saw the numbers post-COVID and all that. And based on that survey, had that thing extended for a year, I can dare say that number would have shifted, that percentage point would have shifted higher. It would have shifted higher. That means overall, we don't have a lot of Christians who are well grounded in the faith. They are not. A lot are not grounded. So any wind that blows, they will get offended. That's why they get angry. They stop coming to church. I won't do this. I won't do that. I won't do it. Because they are not well grounded. And I really believe pastors have a lot of work to do in this regard. Pastors have a lot of work to do. You know, someone once said that these days, it's as if, not every church, of course, but in a lot of churches, it's as if now the sermons are not really meant to build people up in Christ spiritually, give them a footing, a grounding. Now, a lot of churches is becoming more of just come and hear something and go home type of thing. And I mean, the real spiritual nugget is missing in a lot of places these days. And you see, it's one of the reasons why church attendance is also reducing, because some people will tell you that they don't see why they should go to church because they don't see anything. When they go, they don't feel anything. Whether they go or they don't go, they don't really see what they are missing. Because when they go, they don't really see what they are gaining anyway. Because to them, they should be gaining more. But that's not the case. Well, I mean, so far as some think this way, means something is still not right somewhere. And back to the point, if people, you have 20% of interviewees wanting something like the Antichrist system that will control them and the system would work, then it tells you as the time progresses, the number, that percentage will be going higher. Oh yes, because the numbers, you see, let's look at just New York, for instance, when they did their election for the mayor, Mandani was standing and he was openly saying he's a socialist. When he comes, he'll do this and that and that. He's an open Muslim and he'll do all. You know, it was, you hear some of the report, the news, you watch some of the interviews, people being interviewed and all. And it's like openly supporting him for his socialism and everything. Systems, the things that he's proposing destroys any city that practices the things he wants to propose, or he was proposing, he wants to practice it. If he does it, it will destroy a city. But yet people were just falling for him. And it's like, if people can fall for anything like this, then it means the deception, people are just ready to be deceived by the Antichrist spirit, seriously. And we are in that season where people should be aware about these things. It's either you stand well grounded, grow yourself spiritually so that you are ready for whatever comes. Except we do that, a lot of believers, should the Antichrist even come now, there are believers who will bow to the Antichrist system. Because they don't even see anything wrong with the Antichrist system now in place. The woke, the liberal things, See, when you see any Christian who supports the pro-Palestinian cause and all that, you know this is a victim, a clear victim of the someone who is a victim of the Antichrist system, somebody who will fall for it easily. Oh, yes. You see, that is how it starts. That is how they are playing on the minds of people. You see, because that whole Palestinian, pro-Palestinian thing is a very disguised way of being anti-Israel, anti-God, anti-Christian. It's a very... You see, the devil is very smart. He knows how to play the game. So he's not coming full force directly as anti-God or anti-Christ or anti-Christian or anti-Jews, like, directly. He's using a subtle way of pro. So pro-Palestinian. So far as you are pro-Palestinian, means you are anti-Israel. You are anti the God of Israel. You are anti-Christ. You are anti-Christian. That's how it is. So it's being done in a very subtle way. This is the deception. Just an example of how the system is being used to deceive gullible people to believe that what they support is rather the best, and that is rather what humanity needs, not knowing that this is how they are being deceived to fight against God unknowingly, to fight against godly systems, to fight against the Christ. See, so this is how things are playing out in our times. And that's why I talk about some of these things, so that listeners would not be ignorant about the season we are in, but will be enlightened to understand the times we live in. That these are not ordinary times to be ignorant. No, it's very expensive to be ignorant. It can cost you severely or dearly. So that is it with it. And then we have this Canadian news. I saw a report recently and it's serious. This headline says, death on demand. So Canada now offering, well, not exactly new, but it's been so for some time, but numbers are increasing. Canada offering same day assisted suicide. So you feel like, well, this headache is too unbearable, I can't bear it again, I want to die. You just go and apply, and sometimes as fast as that same day, your request will be granted and you'll be killed in bed. Gently, you'll be taken off. This is what is happening. People are, so something profound and profoundly unsettling is unfolding in Canada. What began less than a decade ago as a tightly controlled policy presented as a compassionate last resort is now evolving at a speed that is raising alarm amongst physicians, ethicists, and families alike. The country's assisted dying system, known as Medical Assistance in Dying, MAID, M-A-I-D, is no longer just expanding who can qualify. Increasingly, it is accelerating how fast death can be delivered. And the latest official number suggests the shift is happening faster than most citizens realize. A recent report from the Chief Coroner's Medical Assistance in Dying Death Review Committee in Ontario revealed that in 2023 alone, 65 people were euthanized the very same day they requested it, whilst another 154 died the day after applying. In other words, more than 200 individuals moved from request to death in 24 hours or less. For a program once designed with multiple safeguards and waiting periods, this represents a dramatic procedural transformation, one that critics say risks turning a supposedly callous system into a rapid response mechanism for ending life. The shift did not happen overnight. When Canada first legalized assisted dying in 2016, the law required a mandatory 10-day waiting period between approval and death. That safeguard was removed in 2021 by the Canadian Parliament for patients whose deaths were deemed reasonably foreseeable. The problem, however, is that there is no universally fixated or fixed definition of what reasonably foreseeable actually means. In practice, that ambiguity has opened the door to increasingly short approved timelines, including same-day deaths. So you feel like dying today, just apply. And then, this generation, no. Dying made easy. Death on demand. Hey. when you close your eyes, then you realize, Yankuye. Okay. Let me finish off with this one. Trading the pulpit for the prompts. A dangerous new trust. A quiet but profound shift is underway in the spiritual lives of Americans, and it should command the attention of every believer, pastor, and parent. In an age once defined by pulpits and scripture, a growing number of people are now turning to algorithms for answers about God, morality, and truth. What was once the realm of prayer and pastoral counsel is increasingly being outsourced to AI. And according to new research, this isn't speculation. It's measurably reality. You know, let me pause on this. You know, last year when we did this training in AI, Spirit FM did and all that, you know, that's the essence of it. For people to understand and know the do's and don'ts, what you can use it for, what you should not use it for. And see, this is one of the challenges, because people don't have that clear understanding or knowledge, now they are crossing into dangerous territories, and it's becoming a worry, because what people are demanding from AI regarding spirituality is a big worry, because that means their faith is not in Christ. Their faith is in something else. And the statistics are boring. The numbers are huge. You know, a recent study conducted by the Banner Group in partnership with Glue reveals a startling statistic. About 1/3 of practicing Christians now see spiritual advice from AI as trustworthy as guidance from a pastor. Among practicing believers specifically, that number climbs to 34%. Even more striking, younger generations show higher openness to AI as a spiritual source, suggesting this trend is not fading, it's accelerating. The survey of more than 1,500 adults, U.S. adults, also found that 4 in 10 Christians say AI has already helped them with prayer. Abba. Oh, no. Prayer is also good with AI. I mean, come on, you know. There's something wrong. Bible study or spiritual growth. Meanwhile, more than 41% of Protestant pastors report using AI tools to assist with sermon or study preparation. This paints a picture not of resistance, but of rapid adoption across the Christian landscape. As Banner's Vice President of Research, Daniel Copeland, observed, there is a real opportunity for pastors to disciple the congregations on how to use AI beneficially. But that statement carries an unspoken warning. If the church does not teach discernment, technology will. At the same time, trust in pastors has quietly eroded. Multiple recent surveys from various research organizations have shown declining confidence in clergy, often tied to cultural polarization, scandals, and perceived irrelevance. Into that vacuum steps AI, calm, articulate, immediate, and seemingly impartial. Unlike human leaders, it never stumbles over words, never shows fatigue, and always has an answer ready. For many users, that consistency feels like credibility. But that perception hides a crucial truth. Artificial intelligence is not neutral. It does not think independently, and it certainly does not possess divine wisdom. AI systems are trained on vast data sets compiled from human-produced material, books, articles, websites, forums, blogs, and social commentary, and all. In other words, they are shaped by the collective worldview of the internet. And the internet, as every Christian knows, is not a theological authority. You know, this is why knowledge is important. Getting the right knowledge about something is important so that you can navigate your way through the usage of whatever it is. And it's one of the serious aspects of this whole thing. And, you know, today I saw this article where, you know, more youth are using AI as their companion, like chatbots and all. And to the blind side of parents, some parents and all. You know, this issue has to be discussed. Parents have to be aware that it's happening. And, you know, currently there are a few cases of suicide that was necessitated by these chatbot systems. So that's why it's important for people to be aware about it. I'll be back after this short break.
In vain, for I found the living Christ and Sorry, Frank, but unless you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt there's a God, I'll never believe.
But, Bob, every decision we make in this world requires faith. For instance, you got in this car.
That didn't require faith.
Oh, sure it did. I mean, how do you know I'll get us to work safe and sound?
Well, you've gotten me there in the past.
Right. You examined the evidence and decided it was safe to get in the car. But you don't know that I'll get us there safely today.
Hey, you come on, man. You're going too fast for this turn. Slow down.
Unless you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that these brakes are going to work, I'm not going to use them.
Frank, come on. There's a stoplight ahead. Use the brakes. They'll work.
Prove it.
Well, but I can't.
Well, we just don't know about these brakes now, do we?
Whoa, we're going to die!
Well, what do you know? The brakes do work.
Of course they do.
And, Bob, the evidence that there is a God is as conclusive as the evidence that these brakes will work. You need to look at the facts and make a decision.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Elwood, have you seen the cake I brought this morning?
Was it Dutch chocolate?
You're eating my cake?
Yes, sir. Excellent cake, sir. Would you like a piece? There's one left.
That cake was for the auction! You are in so much trouble, young man!
Trouble? Oh, no, sir, not at all. You see, Marvin and Bob also ate a piece, so because we all ate a piece, no one's in trouble. It's like speeding on the highway. Everyone does it, so it's okay. See? Are you sure you don't want a piece?
What?
Okay, it's clear you don't understand how this works. Obviously, if one of us had not eaten a piece of cake, then clearly the rest of us would be in trouble. But because all of us decided to have a piece, then none of us are in trouble. See?
We all know that there are things that are right and things that are wrong, regardless of what the majority does. If it means going against the crowd, will you do the right thing?
Hey, Elwood, where's your office now?
Men's room, middle stall.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Okay, welcome back. The station is Spirit 88.3 FM, and the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. Well, I'm just seeing the breaking news, the attack on Iran. They've killed the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, and after 40 years in power, they've been able to eliminate him by the attack or the strikes in the city. So let's see if there will be an uprising, the citizens can rise up and take over. And you know, before he took over before the Iranian, the Islamic government took over in 78. Or thereabouts, before God, there was one before who died and then he took over. But when they toppled the government and they brought in the religious, extreme religion and all that, the Iranians were having a good life, free life. You know, that time I saw pictures or videos of life then. I mean, they could go to beach. I mean, they were just living like a developed country, things were well. But since then, they've become slaves in their own country. And religious police, this and that, you can't wear this. People have been killed, I mean, brutalized because they've not covered their hair, a whole lot of things. Well, there's been, for the underground Christians in Iran, this is a time they've been praying. They've been praying for, I mean, that a change will come. For more Iranians to become Christians, because they are really seeing the difference this thing is not going to help them. So there are a lot of Christians in Iran, the underground church. I mean, they are just lying low, homes, secret churches and all. And even that, a lot are being persecuted. There are several Christians in Iranian, the Evin prison, they call the most notorious prison. A lot of Christians are being brutalized for their faith, for owning Bibles, for having Bible discussions at home, all these things. So, well, I mean, I've listened to a number of Iranians previously who talked about their prayer. One of their biggest prayer is a change in the regime so that they can have a proper democracy and have their peace of mind and serve God and all. But, well, let's see. What we can do is just pray for them, pray for the Christians in Iran and for the will of God to prevail in such circumstances. Okay, so yeah, I'm almost wrapping up for this evening's edition. And well, you know, these are the times you are in understanding and making more sense of the global news, the geopolitical things you hear, and how to connect it to the word of God. Well, next week we'll be talking more about it. And yeah, that's it. The church should not live in the dark ages as if they don't know what is happening. So these are just wake up calls for the church to wake up. Yes, in the midst of all that we do and all that, at least the church should be reminded that the times are also not as we think it is, because sometimes these things should be wake up calls for the church. And you know, the church that is sleeping, as for the church sleeping there, the church is sleeping. It's very unfortunate, but the church is wide off, very asleep and not knowing what is happening, not knowing the season. But we need a revival. We need a true revival that will wake the church up, that would bring souls into the church, that would, because people are getting lost in the numbers. And you know, it's very unfortunate that the church that should be the beacon of light sometimes doesn't even, they've covered the light, as Jesus said, and they've hidden the light. So the church sometimes is even afraid, or not afraid, but to the church is a bit like ashamed sometimes to even hold out their light and say that, hey, we are followers of Christ. The church sometimes hides their lights and we are also pretending. And it's very unfortunate. So, I mean, I just pray, listeners of this program, church leaders, deacons, and no, would understand some of these things, that we need a wake up. We need to shake up the church. And it's important we do so. It's important we do so. All right. So, yeah. So that's it. And that's the news. Yeah. So at least the war, they've attacked Iran. They've killed their supreme leader. They've, you know. Well, let's see how things follow in the course of the week. But when it happens like this, the Strait of Hormuz clearly will be a no-go area for oil tankers. This will push oil prices up for Monday. Worldwide crude prices will go up and all. But it depends how fast things can be mitigated. But if it extends and they have their proxies, the Yemeni, the Houthi rebels in Yemen joining, and there are rebels in Iraq joining, and Hezbollah, and you know, when all these proxies come into the scene, that's where it muddies the waters and makes it a very complicated thing. But well, it's early days yet, so let's see how things go. Thank you for listening to this program this evening. I'm Eben. Thank you for tuning in. We have every reason to thank God this evening for the end of another month. 2026 is moving extremely fast. By the time I realize December is here, and it's like, wow, so soon. Yeah, that's it. 2 months gone and 10 more. The same God who has taken us through the 2 will take us through the 10. All right, good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.